Well, I'm excited this weekend because we have a very special guest. Tom and Deanna Demery have been friends of mine for many, many years, about 15 years. I have been so blessed by their ministry, and I'm excited about them being here today. Tom has a ministry called Pentecost Walk, and 15 years ago, God called him to a very, very unusual and difficult ministry. We know that our country is in desperate need of spiritual awakening. We are in an election year, and every year we hear that if we elect the right politician, things will get better. If we elect the right members of Congress, things will get better. I think we all know by now that our hope has to be in something greater than man. It has to be in God. Unfortunately, so often Christians pray, and they pray prayers that are politically tied to candidates and platforms. And 15 years ago, God called Tom to this powerful, important ministry where he began prayer walking across the country, thousands and thousands of miles of prayer walking up and down across the country, calling the church to prayer, but calling the church to unity and repentance. Instead of pointing our finger at the world and being surprised that sinners sin, we ought to look at ourselves and say, God, what would you have us do as the church? And so he's called us to unity in prayer, and he's been powerfully used across the country. Now, here's the deal. He's going to be with us tonight. He's going to be speaking right now in a couple moments. Also going to be speaking at 5 o'clock in the Life Center, a brief meeting, if you're interested in knowing how you can be a part and support Pentecost Walk. Then 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to gather right here. It's 6 o'clock, even though it says 7 in your bulletin. 6 o'clock is right. It's what time? 6 o'clock. And we're going to gather with hundreds of Christians from churches all across the Central Coast, and we're going to pray together. It's going to be a powerful evening together. But I am excited about him being with us because I know we desperately need prayer as a country. We desperately need prayer as a church. We need to be unified. And I've been called by God to be his friend. And to be honest with you, he is unusual. How many know that God likes unusual people? Turn to your neighbor and say, that's good news for you. Well, he's unusual in that he is kind of a wild man and kind of a John the Baptist kind of person. He's calling the church out. And to be brutally honest with you, there are some pastors that he makes nervous because most pastors are control freaks like me. And we don't like to give things over to someone we're not sure what he's going to do. But I know him. He's the real deal. I've known him and loved him and appreciate his ministry for 15 years. And a few months ago, I was preaching on Barnabas, and God kept whispering to me, be that for Tom. Be that for Tom. Tell other pastors that he's the real deal. Tell other pastors that they can trust him. And so that's what I've been doing. And I know that there are some pastors that were kind of nervous, but they're on board, and we're going to gather tonight, and God has used them powerfully. Now, real quick, in June, they were out here for a brief visit. I went to a meeting of some supporters and potential supporters of the ministry, and I heard him tell a story that I'd never heard before in 15 years. And I said, dude, why haven't I ever heard that story? He said, well, it kind of sounds like I'm bragging. And I said, no, you got to tell that. It's not to your glory, it's to God's glory. So when you come to speak to us, I want you to tell that story, and he's going to tell it today. And he tells it, and it's an amazing story about how God has given him favor just because of the power of his ministry and the importance of his ministry. So I want you to give him a rockin' New Life welcome. Tom Demery, God bless you. Deanna, stand up too. Stand up, and we want to wave to Deanna. All right. Tom, come on up.
Little part, brother.
You are. Trust
okay,
you.
All right. I love you. It's really good to be here. God bless you guys. It's nice to fly across the country to be home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You try speaking in the house of your friend who just, you know, that Barnabas stuff, dude, you kill me. Why do you do that right before I have to speak? God is good to us. Amen?
Amen.
You know, Pastor Chad talked about that secret place. I'm telling you, beloved, if there's one thing that God could do in your heart today, that's not what I'm preaching on. It's not what anybody's speaking on specifically. But if there's not a place in your life that's the most precious place of your life, that's just you and your bridegroom, then I hope by the end of this morning that's changed. Because that will change everything. Because we're all a piece of work. We're all unusual in our own way. And if we don't have that time away from all the stuff, we're just doomed. Anyway, we live in Tennessee. We have for 11 years, but we used to live here on the Central Coast. And Thursday after Thanksgiving of 2001, God gave me a vision. I was out on a run, really just to get away from church people. Anybody? And so I'm out running, minding my own business, praying over this little town of Napomo where we lived. And it was just where we slept because I was always on a plane going somewhere to speak. And God gave me a vision for the nation to take a team, to get some other pastors and get a little army and prayer walk from the Pacific to the Atlantic. And I thought it was nuts. And I didn't want to do it, and it scared me to death. And I finally said yes to him. Because he said this to me one day. He said, "You know, son, you're the third guy I've asked to do this. Shall I go to the fourth? Let's not meet him face to face and find out what we missed." Amen? And it's been a glorious journey. This five-month, 3,400-mile mission is now 15 years and closer to 20,000 miles around the length and breadth of the country, taking this prayer to the body of Christ as a gathering place. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your unending mercy and grace poured out upon our nation. You have delivered us in times of war, reunited us after conflicts among ourselves, and filled our lives with such abundance, your blessings overflow our borders. Yet still, we take you for granted. We come before you now in desperate need of your forgiveness. We confess that the liberty you so graciously gave us has become a license to do as we please. Our culture mocks you. Our highest courts are esteemed above your word. We've traded genuine spirituality for temporary pleasure, true virtue for hollow celebrity. We teach our children self-indulgence, yet stand mystified at the blood on their hands. We lust after material things, yet wonder why our souls are empty. Revive us, O Lord. Your presence is our only hope. Impart to us your passion for good over evil. As we humble ourselves and seek your face, forgive us, O God, and heal us. Make us one. That America would be the land you envisioned from the beginning, a beacon of hope lifted to the world, a people free to serve you and one another in genuine love. In the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and King. Amen?
Amen.
If you haven't had a chance to sign that prayer, at the end of the service, the lead pastor of New Life Church, Patty Clark, will be at the mission table. And Ron says he's never worked for a better boss in his life, so it works out perfect. She's a dear friend. And she'll be out there, and there's copies of the prayer. You can sign on to it. There's more info about our mission. As you heard, Pastor Ron wants me to tell you more about Pentecost Walk today, which I will. But let me just tell you real quick. At 5 o'clock today, we're headed toward what we believe, if the Lord wills, is the final lapse of this before the presentation of the White House. And we're not going to the White House because we believe God's a Republican or a Democrat. Are you with me? We're going there, in my understanding, because it's the highest possible place of public declaration. And one of the things that we believe is instrumental to seeing the breakthrough continue that we've seen around the country is 54 weeks from now, we're going to do a prayer walk down the entire West Coast from the border of Canada to the border of Mexico. And we're going to do it with 6 teams, and we're going to do it as a relay in 10 days. And those 10 days are going to be the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which the Jewish people call the 10 days of repentance. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. Those are the same 10 days, Lord willing, in 2017, that we'll do a relay across the country with 12 teams to the White House. My hope is that the majority of both teams would be born from the Central Coast, not because you guys are more important than anybody else, but because God did a reboot and a restart of our ministry here. How many remember that prayer walk to the beach 4 years ago? Anybody? What you might not know about that is I was sick for the 3 years before that. I could hardly walk across my living room. And when God said, enough of this sitting around, time to get back to it. And when we restarted a vision that the enemy had almost taken us out of the game, the rebirth was right here. And your pastor's been instrumental in the continuation and the fruitfulness of what we're doing. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. When we started, put up that little dude, would you? When we started, God arranged it. Anybody remember that, the BC comic strip? At 5 o'clock, at this 5 o'clock deal tonight. By the way, it's 5 o'clock, and then we have a meeting at 6. So if you need to bring your Taco Bell or whatever with you, we don't care. You know, if you're still wet from the beach from surfing, we don't care. Bring your wetsuit, bring your burger. You know, we'll just hang out for a little bit. But I'll tell you how God arranged this for us to get to know the guy who did this comic strip and why that became our little dude. But the reason I put it up there is the scripture that's with it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. 1 John 2:6 says, if we say we abide in him, then we ought to walk as he walked. Amen? Don't just talk the talk. Amen? Walk the walk. Amen? I want to read a scripture, 2 scriptures from the Gospel of John. I'm going to start in John 4, verse 13. Because this is all about walking in the Spirit. This is to the woman at the well, the very well that those of you who go on this trip in March will get to see up close. Jesus answered this Samaritan woman and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Unless we don't know what that fountain represents, and it represents the Holy Spirit. And in case that's not clear, Jesus says in the Gospels three chapters later in chapter 7, when he's addressing religious leaders and Pharisees, he says this, if anyone thirsts, now let's qualify this scripture. Are there any thirsty people in the house today? Oh, two or three? Anybody else? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me, says the Lord. Let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those who believe in him would receive. Jesus wasn't glorified yet, and he was foretelling the coming of the Holy Spirit. Everything about Pentecost walk, everything I would submit to you about any mission that is God's birth, that is actually from the Lord, it has to be about walking in the Holy Spirit, because what else is there? What else is there? If we aren't obeying the Lord in real time, according to the real time, in the moment, prompting of his Spirit, then what are we doing? Why do we leave our house in the morning? Some of us think that being filled with the Holy Spirit is a moment in our life. But it's not. It's the momentum of our life. It's not a moment, it's the momentum. It's what fills us with, the scripture says, dynamite. That's the word for the power of the Holy Spirit that came as tongues of fire on Pentecost. That God filled you and I with dynamite, with the power that light overcomes darkness every time, everywhere. That everywhere you and I go, we change the atmosphere. It's not a moment, The scriptures say, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled. And that word filled is to be overfilled, to be overflowing. Amen? Here's a song God gave me about that.
Taken for granted, Lord, the tenderness of you. Please forgive me as I turn to you and drink of your mercy, as I take touched by your love. Touched by your love. For Lord, I've tasted of your touch. Oh, for you have embraced me in your unbelievable presence. With all of these blessings still, sometimes I turn away. Please forgive me as I turn to you and drink of your mercy, as I taste from above. Oh, drink of your mercy, touched by your love. Touched by your love. For to walk in your spirit, Lord, is to drink of living water. And never thirst again. For Lord, we have tasted of your touch. Oh, for you have embraced us in your unbelievable presence. With all of these blessings still, sometimes we turn away. Please forgive us as we turn to you and drink of your mercy, as we taste from above. Oh, drink of your mercy, touched by your love. Touched by your love. For to walk Spirit, Lord. Is to drink of living water. And never thirst again. And never thirst again. Oh, and never thirst again. For to walk in your Spirit, Lord.
Hallelujah. It's a drink of living water. And never thirst again. Hallelujah. Lord, that's our prayer. Forgive us. Forgive us where we've entertained everything but you. Where we've made room for everything but you. Wash us clean that we drink of your mercy again. Amen. So to the story, by faith, we started out on this journey, and we walked 30, 40 miles a day across the country. It was hot, melted through four pairs of boots on the way, not exaggerating. And we get to Washington. And before this journey, beloved, I didn't know a mayor of a town. But by the time we got to D.C., by God's favor, I had friends, I had running buddies in the U.S. Senate. Favor is better than talent. You've heard me say that before. Some churches that I keep going to that have become a home away from home, they'll sometimes introduce me and say, the favor is better than talent guy is here. Because I'm known to say that. But here's the thing. It doesn't mean that the gifts God's given us don't matter. Those gifts should be cultivated, right? Amen? We should study to show ourselves approved workmen and workwomen, unashamed, rightly dividing that word of truth. We're responsible for the gifts God's given us, that we would use them rightly for his glory. And that matters. But that's not where breakthrough comes from. It's not from what you've put in your data bank. It's from who you know. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And God's favor can change things in a New York second, in a heavenly celestial moment, that you and I couldn't do with a $1 billion budget. And at 5 o'clock today, and probably not at 6, but at this afternoon deal, if you're eating Taco Bell with us or whatever we do, we'll have cookies for the people that don't want to eat something healthier, like Taco Bell's healthy, by the way. You know, I'll tell you a few other things about what we've seen, but I can tell you this. In 15 years that we thought would be 5 months, by the way, that everything we've done has been like, you know, my master has need of that colt. Is that the one that hasn't been ridden? Yeah, that's the right one. That's the one we need. We don't have any other way to do business. That's how we do it. And I would submit to you that if you do it another way, if what you're doing is always relying on your own resources and your own strength, maybe you're not reading the right blueprints. So we get to D.C., and we get to D.C. in October of 2001. Are you with me? You getting the timing? 9/11 happened when we were walking through Charlotte. That's a whole other story, glorious. But now we get into Washington on October 9th, on Tuesday the 9th, and on Thursday the 11th of October, we had a meeting set with then President Bush to present these signatures on this prayer that we'd collected on our way across the country. Now, prior to getting to Washington, when we were walking up historic Highway 1 through Fredericksburg, the oldest highway in America, we're walking up there, and when we got through Fredericksburg, there was this brother who was at the time the president of the largest Association of Evangelical Churches in the United States. Huge organization. And he heard about what we're doing, and he came out to walk with me and to walk with our team. So we're walking along, and I'm just, you know, beads of sweat, you know what I mean? I'm in gym shorts and just slimy for the glory of God. You with me? Come on. All right? It's a little more humid out there than it is out here. And so we're walking along, and I got gym shorts on and a Pentecost Walk t-shirt with that little dude on it, and I'm walking along, just balls of sweat, and here's this guy walking next to me, gabardine summer weight wool slacks with cuffed bottoms, tasseled loafers on his feet, little sweater vest and a button-down shirt under his sweater vest, dapper as can be, very DC, very Beltway. And he says to me as we're walking, are you getting the picture in your head? And he says to me as we're walking, you know, brother, you're way out of the box for me. And I can't get my eyes off the tassels the whole time we're walking. And I'm thinking, you think, you know? So we're walking along, and we had this great time in the Lord, just sharing and weeping and loving on each other. It was awesome. And a few days later, as we were getting closer to Washington, D.C., I get a call from this brother. And he said, Pastor Tom, we're doing a memorial day of repentance to pray for the families and the 3,000 people that fell on 9/11. And we're doing that at the Lincoln Memorial. You ever seen Forrest Gump, that movie, you know, where they set up the outdoor stage with the jumbotrons around the reflecting pool? He said, we're doing this day of repentance on Saturday the 13th. And he said, I don't even get you. I don't even get what you do. But I feel compelled that you need to be our keynote speaker for that thing. And I had never spoken at anything on the National Mall or any big deal kind of stuff before. Since then, by God's favor, I've done this many times. But I'd never done anything like that. And he said, would you like to do that? And I said, well, let me pray about it and talk to the team, and I'll call you back. And he's like, pray about it. See, I didn't get the memo that if you're in Washington, D.C., and somebody gives you a good offer, you just say, yes, more please. How many know God's ways are higher than man's ways? Some of the coolest things we've ever seen in the kingdom, we had a lot of people who loved us very much and said, you got to do this right now. But the Spirit of God was saying to me, not now, wait. And we did it years later sometimes when our advisors, and people who meant well, thought we missed it. But when it came in God's timing, it was perfect. Amen? Anyway, we prayed about it, and God said, go ahead and do it. So I called him back and said, okay. So we get to Washington, and the meeting that we were going to have with the president on Thursday, the 11th of October, this prayer meeting, this gathering at the memorial is going to be on Saturday the 13th. You with me? We arrive Tuesday, our meeting with the president Thursday. I'm going to speak at this doodad at the Lincoln Memorial Saturday. So on the 11th, our meeting was in the late afternoon, and we get a call just a couple hours before that meeting was canceled. Not canceled, but postponed. In fact, they were careful to distinguish between the two. Because that was our fourth day of shooting missiles into Afghanistan. And that's when all the barricades went up around the White House. That's when all the barricades went up all over Washington, D.C., and it became a different town than it had been up until then. Indeed, we've become a different nation. So the only people getting into the White House that day, and this is what I was told on the phone, were people who had four gold stars on their shoulder. So, we love what you're doing, Pastor, but we're gonna reschedule. Okay. Now, you'd think after walking 3,400 miles with a bunch of other pastors and my whole family, our little Brian was 10 years old. He's 24 now. You'd think we'd be pretty disappointed that our meeting was canceled. But the truth is, beloved, the favor on us was so, so unbelievable that you were afraid to mess it up. You know what I'm saying? God was doing stuff that, I mean, he almost felt like you were like a banana in the jello of his favor. You know what I mean? you couldn't mess it up if you tried, but you don't want to try, right? So I'm actually on the steps of the Capitol on that Thursday evening, 2 feet from the front door of the U.S. Capitol. Now you can't even get close to that place physically. But I'm standing there with who's become one of my dearest friends, who happens to be a governor of another state now, and he was a senator then, and we're praying, and he was the one who was instrumental to help set up this meeting with the president, and we're both a little disappointed that it's not happening, but we don't know what God's doing. And we're praying, and every time his buzzer would go off, he'd run in to vote on military appropriations and come back, and we'd pick up where we left off. On one of those trips, the Lord spoke to me clear as a bell and said, you could meet with the president now, and he'd see what you're doing as a spiritual movement. Or you could come back with millions of signatures for a mandate. How many believe our nation, with the body of Christ, with us, that we need a mandate of repentance in this nation? Amen. And that confirmed what God had been whispering to us all the way across, that we're not done yet, to keep walking till breakthrough comes. Subsequent to that, I got a phone call from the White House. In those days, cell phones didn't have the fancy screens they have now. But my whole screen just said 202, which is the area code for Washington, D.C. It took over my phone. And it's the White House. They have your number. I never called the White House and gave them my phone number, but they had it anyway. And I'm in a rental car in Florida with another pastor, and my phone says 202, and I get a call, and he says, hi, this is so-and-so from the White House. Ah, pull over, it's the White House. The president's very encouraged. Sorry we couldn't have the meeting when you were here, but wants to know when you're coming back and what can we do to help. And I said, thank you very much. Nothing, will let you know. Because it wasn't time. They would call two more times in the next few years. Three times the White House called under the Bush administration, wondering, when are we coming? And God said, not yet. At least that's what I understood. And that's all I have to go on. I see in a mirror dimly, same as you. But God's good and he knows how we see. Amen? So this Saturday meeting comes up. Well, this is a meeting where I'm the only guy at this meeting that no one's heard of. That's sort of the story of my life ever since then. I'm always the only non-world famous guy in some of these places where you're supposed to be big time to get in, you know? And at this thing, we show up, and our team is helping to set up chairs in what would be like the orchestra pit section, and then they actually have 3,000 yellow roses that we're setting on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Very, very sobering day. God bless those families even today, 15 years later. Oh, Lord, bless them, comfort them with the comfort that only you can pour out by your Spirit. And I was directed to go into the green room. Well, the green room at an outdoor event is a trailer. So I go into this trailer, and holy cow, it is the all-star lineup for the most world-famous pastors in America. And they're all there. It was the coolest thing. And I'd tell you who they all are, but I'm not going to. But you'd know who they all are. And these are the kind of guys that have a raincoat and an umbrella in the cloakroom of the White House. You know, that every time they come to town, they have an audience probably with the president himself, no matter who the administration is. And rightly so, because these are men and women who wield tremendous influence in the body of Christ across the land. Well, these are the caliber of guys that I'm in this trailer with. And I'm standing there, and the first thing I realize is I didn't get the dress code memo. They're all suited up, dude. They're like, they are slick. And I think I'm dressed up because I have long pants on. You know, I had one pair of long blue jeans, and that was the best I could do, and I had a white Pentecost Walk t-shirt with that little dude on the back. And it was the one that didn't have any stains from Taco Bell, so it was perfect. And I'm standing there, and there's this giant in the kingdom standing next to me, and I don't know what to say. And he says to me, is that water? And there's a little case of Aquafina with the plastic, you know, around it, sitting on the counter in the trailer. And I said, yes, it is. Would you like some? And he goes, oh, yes, I would. And so I figure, well, there's no water police, you know. I mean, you know, whatever. So I open it up, and I give him a water. Hallelujah. Well, there's a guy standing next to him. You would know this guy, too. And the guy says, oh, in a way that only, you know, a big dude could say, oh, is that water? You know, right? Well, yes, it is. Would you like one? Oh, yes, I would. Well, I'll just get you one. So I get him a water. You're never going to guess what happens next. Wait for it. Third guy, again, you'd know him, says, is that water? Well, yes, it is. Would you like one? I would love it. So I grab a water, and now, and so you know what's coming. So now I'm carrying this case of Aquafina throughout the trailer, and I'm giving water to all these dapper men of God in their three-piece suits. And everybody is happy as a clam. God speaks to me clear as a bell. Says, check your cell phone. Well, in those days, cell phones didn't have a mute button. So the only way to check your cell phone was to turn it on. And in those days, when you turned it on, it went, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. And it went, you know, it took about 15 minutes later, it would come on, right? So I exited the trailer and went over to the side of the reflecting pool and turned it on. And again, you know, waited for it to boot up. And I had a voicemail. And the voicemail was from the chief staff secretary for the president of the United States. And the message was basically this. Do you and Deanna want to come over? Why don't you come over and pray through the West Wing? And so I went to the tassel guy. Good guy, by the way. Still friends to this day. And I went to him, and I told him in technicolor detail, you know, hey, God told me to check my phone, and I turn it on, and I have this message, and it's from the chief staff secretary. They want to know if we want to come over to the White House. Remember what I said. These are all guys that they know the White House well, but nobody's going into the White House right now. What's changed this whole trip is they're here for the weekend to do this event, but they're not going to the White House because it's shut down. It's blocked off. And I tell him, you know, we've been invited to go over there and pray. And he's listening to my story, and his jaw just keeps getting lower and lower. And I say, so, you know, we probably have time to walk over and get back. Can I go? And he just goes, God, just go. So we go and we walk from the Lincoln Memorial to the White House, which, if you've been to D.C., is much further than it looks. And we get to the Eastern Gate, the little entrance gate security. And the truth is, beloved, we're convinced that, you know, this isn't, you know, we know we're not going to get in. I mean, it was a great phone call, a neat prank call, but, you know, we had a nice walk. And I show up, I say, Tom and Deanna Demery. Oh, Pastor Tom, you know, or actually they said Reverend Demery. We've been expecting you. It's like, get out of here. So we go in, and we prayed through every inch of the West Wing. We prayed over every office. We prayed over every chair. We prayed over every chair in the cabinet room. We even prayed over all the chairs in the offices of the Situation Room. And it's against federal law to step into the Oval Office when the president's not in residence. But the only people there that day, besides the chief staff secretary who was guiding us around, were the Secret Service. And God gave us so much favor with them. You know, we prayed through the Rose Garden and everything else. And there's the Oval Office. There's the door. We know that's it because we were told. And I kind of looked at the Secret Service like, and they're like, go ahead. So they opened the door, and we got to walk into the Oval Office and pray that prayer that we just agreed together earlier this morning on. Unbelievable experience. Unbelievable experience. Clearly, it was God's hand, not to make the presentation then, but lest we had any doubt whether God was with us or not, yes. He was removing all doubt. We walked back in fear and trembling back to the Lincoln Memorial. And the tassel guy got up to introduce me and said, Pastor Tom Demery's here. He just did this prayer walk, blah, blah, blah. And he and his wife just came back from praying through the West Wing for the last hour. And all the suits on the dais shot their head over and looked at me. And you could read the thought bubble on top of every one of their heads. And you know what it said? Oh my gosh, that's the water boy. This summer, we've had a full schedule these last few years. I almost use the word busy, but we don't use that word in my house. busy is a four-letter word in the Demery house. Because what's that mean? You know, how you doing, brother? I'm busy. Really? I'm done. You know, what's that mean? I'm busier than you. I'm more important than you. You know, whatever. You know, yeah, you're, whoa. Yeah, you're the dude. Okay, whatever. You win. You win. Kind of like when you ask a guy, you know, how old you are, and he says, how old do you think I am? I always say, I've suddenly lost interest. You're a dude, guy. It doesn't matter how old you are. Get over yourself. If we ask your wife how old she is, she can go on forever. That's fine. But you're a guy. Doesn't matter. You were ugly to start with. You're getting uglier, then you die. But our schedule has been full and has been challenging to us personally. Because after 33 years of marriage, this young lady here actually likes me a little bit. And we enjoy hanging out together. And things these last few years have been particularly challenging and very fear and trembling kind of days for us. And so this summer we thought, you know, we'll get some time together. And my schedule's lighter in the summer usually on purpose so that we can hang out. And then right after we left here in June, God said, I want you to give me 1,000 miles of prayer this summer. I'm like, oh, come on. And I wasn't even sure if I was hearing him right. So I started walking every day, starting the 4th of July, from the 4th till September 11th, in those 70 days. 100 miles a week. Hard to fit in with your regular stuff. It took me 10 or 12 days till we figured out it was really the Lord. But I walked every day, because what if you find out it is? You don't want to make up, you know, 150 miles. And as I'm walking every day, because God said, this is the season. This is the season for more intensity than you've ever seen. How many believe that's true? I kept seeing the same picture everywhere I went, every day. And it's a nationwide picture. And I saw a picture, a metaphorical vision, if you will, of people who desperately need the Lord. And let's imagine that a bucket was representative of that, of how God fills us with that living water that we were talking about. Are you with me? Yeah. So imagine that a bucket is, we don't carry a bucket, but in this picture, I saw people throughout America, throughout the Central Coast, standing on their front porch with an empty bucket, just standing there waiting. Won't somebody come and show me the way? I'm dying. I'm dying. I know there's more. I know there's more. Somebody, please, fill me up. Somebody, please, I'm dying. And you and I, the church, we're just walking by. We're busy. We're on our iPhones. Don't give a rip. Men and women, young kids, old people standing on their porch, please, somebody fill my bucket. And then I saw homes where they didn't have a bucket because they'd given up and even waiting. See, most of us, we treat this being filled with the Holy Spirit thing as a moment. And we get filled with rivers of living water and we're good. And we walk around and it's good. We, you know, this bucket has water in it, but it's okay. Here's a couple $1,000s of musical equipment, but I can walk right here because the bucket is comfortably half full. So it's very convenient. It doesn't spill anywhere. I can take it everywhere. It's very convenient. But nobody's getting wet. See, beloved, God hasn't called us to a life that's neat and tidy. Our life is supposed to be a birthing room. Our life is supposed to be a labor room of eternal life everywhere we go. Our light overcoming darkness, our living water flooding the dry plains of drought and hopelessness everywhere we go. But we like it neat. Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine. That doesn't just mean about drinking. It means don't let the world be what turns you on. Don't let the cheap temporary entertainment be what floats your boat. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that word filled means to be overflowing, to where instead of just being full, watch, it does that. And I'd submit to you, if that's the way we live, that we're overflowing, wherever we go, we're making a mess. Wherever we go, we're flooding the plains of hopelessness and despair, and we're bringing people to life. Amen? Amen? In the Old Testament, there was a drink offering that was poured on the sacrificial fire, morning and night. Jesus Christ became the ultimate drink offering when he said at the Last Supper, "This is my blood poured out for you." The Apostle Paul, who tells us to follow him in the exact way that he follows Christ, said it this way in Philippians 2, 17 and 18. "Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me." Beloved, God's telling you and I that we're to be a drink offering. Our lives are to be poured out. Most of us don't have any clue the wonder of what it is to be overfilled and to be overflowing, because we've never embraced the beauty of being poured out till we're empty. We always want to have a little reserve. We always want to have a little more. Psalm 84:7 says that God puts the heart of his people on the highway of heaven, on this pilgrimage. And that though that we pass through the valley of Baca, this valley in Palestine that literally means weeping, we make it a spring. The word says that we go from strength to strength. If you are running out and you serve people till you're empty, I don't want to make that big of a mess here because I want to be invited back at 11. But if we serve people till we're completely empty, it's okay. It's okay. Because there's a God in heaven who's just like this. All day long, all night long, visions in the night, dreams and visions, blueprints every day. A day that was designed and created for glory before there was a world, just for you. Every day, every day, every day, every day. Let's be a drink offering, shall we? Let's be water boys and water girls, because we're living in a land of drought. And it's up to us to water the land and to water the hearts and minds of people standing on their porches. Who's with me? Yeah. Take a hand. Stand up. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you do all things well. If you know that God's speaking to you right now and that you have to be, let go of the hand just for a moment. If you know that you are called right now to be a water boy or a water girl and a life poured out like you've never embraced before, and today's marking a day of change for the rest of your life, raise your hand up high right now. Yeah. Pastor Ron, come up with me real quick and look at these hands. Yeah. Keep them up, beloved, just for a moment. And Pastor Ron's going to join hands with me and with you, and we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you do all things well. We thank you that you pour out living water and we never thirst again. Hallelujah. We thank you for a day of change, not just for this house, not just for the house of Ron, but for the whole Central Coast, for the whole United States, for the global body of Christ, that in our generation, we will see the dry lands made rivers of living water again. And we'd be your hands and feet. We'd be the water boys and the water girls to make that happen. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Now, don't leave. Stay right where you are. Because I got to tell you, to God's glory and not Tom's, he left out my favorite part of the story. He was invited to speak over every room in the White House. He spoke at the big reflecting pool meeting. And when he got back into the green room, he said he ran to a broom closet to make it his secret place, because that much success in ministry could blow up his pride. So he made that broom closet his secret place and humbled himself. And that says more about his heart than anything else to me. And I just want to leave you with these words. Humble yourself before the Lord, and in due time he will lift you up. And he will not lift you up for your credit or glory. He'll lift you up for his. But we all have living water to share. Amen?
Amen.
And so I want you to go out and spill on people this week. Spill faithfully. And come tonight at 6. And come tonight at 5 in the Life Center if you want to come to the meeting.
And if you're coming at 5, just tell Patty so she can count. We're trying to get a count to know how many cookies to buy. So we hope we fill the Life Center. And don't, if you come thinking you're not going to prayer walk with us, we'll change your mind. Amen?
All right. So we'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock or at 5 o'clock.